We're continuing our series on holiness and being holy people. And this comes from our key text for the year, "Be holy for I am holy," says God. And we've been looking at different aspects of that, and today we are looking at the subject of holy bodies. And I really struggled to get into this one. But fortunately, my wife bought me a book for Christmas. And it's a very simple book. Apparently, she bought it for me for last Christmas, but couldn't find it then, so I got it this Christmas. But anyway, that's not about it. And it's called "Wasn't It Smart of God 2? Let me read you a few things that the writer, Steve Chapman, thinks it was smart of God 2. "Wasn't it smart of God to pack all our vital organs into our torso? So if we lose an arm or a leg, we're still alive." Quite thoughtful, isn't it? "Isn't it smart of God to let hearing loss generally happen in our later years so we don't have to listen to our aging friends complaining about joint pain, bowel issues, and memory loss?" I said joint pain, bowel issues, and memory loss. "Wasn't it smart of God to give us ears and noses to hold up our glasses? Wasn't it smart of God to let the balding process slow instead of all of a sudden, like when on a date?" There's some I'm not going to read out in the church. Book may be available through the bookstore later, I don't know. "Wasn't it smart of God to give us receding hairlines instead of advancing ones? Wasn't it smart of God to let our fingernails grow 4 times faster than our toenails? Wasn't it smart of God to give us earwax instead of ear honey?" Just a couple of more. "Wasn't it smart of God to make human bone as strong as granite and to be able to support up to 9 tons, a feature especially valuable after Christmas dinner? Wasn't it smart of God to cover our entire bodies with skin that flakes and sheds up to a rate of 105 pounds during 70 years of living? And thankfully, not all at once. Wasn't it smart of God to create us?" Another one in there, not on the page. "Wasn't it smart of God to have our nose so far away from our feet?" We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies are something God has given to us as a gift. And tomorrow, one of our members, Brian, celebrates 80 years in his body as he celebrates his birthday. Happy birthday, Brian. It'll be rude not to sing to him now, wouldn't it? Happy birthday, Brian. "Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Brian. Happy birthday to you." Our bodies. What does it mean to have holy bodies? I know from the impact of last Sunday's sermon on many people, as we journey into another subject, we may be journeying into an area that is sensitive. Let me start by just saying the Bible says a lot about bodies, and we've covered a lot of that, and I'm not going to go back over many of those themes. But we also know that our bodies are something that at times are not quite as we would choose them to be. Statistics say that many of us are very unhappy with our bodies and don't like the picture in our mirrors. Many of us struggle with our bodies in one way or another. But I want to look at this in a context through the mirror of the verse that Jesus says in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. "Love your neighbor as yourself." You notice this is part of when Jesus is being asked, what's the greatest commandment? And there's a sort of precursor to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So if we're going to use that as the measure of how we love the other, we've got to start off by asking how much we love ourselves. We love who we are. You see, if we start off with asking the question, so who am I? We are people created by God. God created us in our image, or in his image. He created us male and female. He created us just as we are. So for us to start saying, I don't like who I am, is to deny the creation of God as something that is good. It's to not deny the fact that actually when God created, he said, you know the verse at the end of the words of creation, what he said is, it was good. And when God created you, maybe the midwife didn't say those very words as you came out, but the thought is there that God created you and what he created was good. So, as we come back to that verse, love your neighbor as yourself. It starts off by loving ourselves, respecting ourselves, caring about ourselves. Let me put you at ease for a moment. We all have a body. And nobody's body is perfect. That's not easy to say on a Sunday morning. Nobody's body is perfect. And so we're not talking about being perfect, being absolutely perfect. And I would like to say that despite what you might see in the media, what you might see in publications, nobody is perfect except by the blessing of Photoshop. Everyone has flaws. Many go to try to create themselves in a different image. One of the biggest health markets is that in plastic surgery, Botox, and those sort of things. Let's see if I can make myself a better person. But what we have to realize as we go through this and the reading that Bren read to us about don't worry about our clothes and that sort of thing, is our bodies are only temporary. They're not a permanent thing. The real us, the real core of who we are, that is permanent. That is eternal. That is our soul. And as we sung earlier this morning, it is well with my soul is a question we need to be asking ourselves far more than is my makeup okay? Guys. The condition of our soul matters more than the look of our bodies. Jesus came to save us, to save our souls. And as it says in that reading from Matthew's Gospel, look, you can't add anything to our lifespan by our bodies, but you can care for your soul. So as we talk about holy bodies, I want us to take a step back and ask this question. How is the real me? The in-depth me, the center me, the me who is going to be eternal. What is the condition of that part of me? Can we say with all sincerity, it is well with my soul? Second thing I want to say is as our bodies are temporary, we are not defined by our looks. Not by God. We're not defined by what we look like. That doesn't define who we are in God's eyes. And it shouldn't define who we are in the other's eyes. Society has caused so much hurt with its obsession with image. So much damage is done by false body images. What is it that we feel we have the right to comment on how somebody looks? How somebody is? What gives us the right to comment on that? But we do, don't we? We do. We're quite happy to tell somebody you're overweight. Believe me, I hear it often enough. And you know what? That hurts. That hurts the person who's overweight for a reason they can't manage. Tonight we're talking about mental health and faith. This seems to be a day of going into areas where we probably would rather not. We're quite happy to talk about somebody's facial features or what they're wearing. And we're quite happy to run people down. Maybe not to their face, but behind their back. But we'd spend less time looking at somebody and saying, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're a beautiful person inside and out. And despite all those things, we often define ourselves by our looks, by how we are, by how others view us. We spend a lot of time working out how can we be a better person if only I could whatever. There's been some good campaigns recently against body shaming, against destroying the others by image. But the church needs to catch up. And we need to speak out. And we need to speak out to say about every single person, you are loved by God. You are okay. You are made by God. God has given you the blessing of the body you are in. Yes, that body sometimes may creak and moan. It might let you down. You might wish it went faster, or maybe not so fast in some areas. You might wish that it was younger, or not so big, or bigger. You might wish it looked like somebody else. You might wish all sorts of things, but it's the body God gave you, and God gave you something that was beautiful for you to use for his service. So let's not worry about transforming ourselves physically. But let's come back to this theme of love your neighbor as yourself. And ask ourselves the question, what can we do? Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says this. Do you not know that your bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You whom you have received from God, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So although God's given you a body, it's not your own. As we give ourselves to God, we give our whole selves to God. Therefore, our body belongs to God. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church, talks about honoring God with your body. This is at the end of a section on morality and lifestyle and how we should live. But the principle goes across the whole. Paul writing to the Roman church in Romans 12, verse 1, says, offer your whole selves as living sacrifices. This is your spiritual act of worship. Offer your whole selves. That includes your bodies. That includes the very who you are. This is your spiritual act of worship. Therefore, recognizing that our bodies belongs to God, should dictate how we live and how we treat our bodies. We should not spend time on ungodly things with our bodies. We should not allow our bodies to be tainted or corrupted by things that are not of God. We could start listing these things, but you don't need me to. Because as I'm speaking, I believe the Holy Spirit is the person who brings truth into our lives. And maybe as I'm speaking this very moment, God is putting his finger on your life in some way and saying, yes, your body is mine. Now give it back to me. Stop whatever. Start whatever. Give me yourself as an act of worship. Give me who you are as an act of worship. Stop worrying about the small things. Stop worrying about the things you cannot deal with. Just give me yourself in a new and whole way. So our body is described as belonging to God, but also in that passage it is talked about the temple being a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in us. Often when we think of temples, we think of great big buildings with ornate stonework. And we think about places you go into. Well, if you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, don't worry. You will not grow ornate stonework and have great big pillows. What it means is the Holy Spirit lives inside you. So with you, your soul, God is present by his Holy Spirit within the very center of who you are. And God is wanting to use you, your whole you, your gifts, your talents, for his glory. I love people who've got amazing talents. You know, anybody else here wishes you had a talent you haven't got? One or two? Yeah, I've got a lot of wishes I could, yeah. You hear these guys on the music and think, I wish I could play like that. You hear them singing, you wish, I wish I could sing like that. Don't worry about singing. God thinks your voice is beautiful. It goes through an auto-tune thing on the way to God. Isn't that great? So however bad you've been singing, God's thinking, oh, what an amazing worship from that person. Wonderful. I look at people who can do art, painting. And the painting is amazing. I think, I wish I could do that. I look at people who can cook and do the most amazing cakes. And you think, how can you do that? I could just about get a lumpy ice scene, snow scene on a Christmas cake. And I think that's good for me. But God has put in you gifts and skills. He has put in you the ability to love the other. But it starts off when we love what God has given us and love ourselves. And to love ourselves means just recognizing that however imperfect we might feel we are, God has given us a body, a place, and an opportunity to serve. And so as we come and look at the theme of holy bodies, and we could go through many ways that God's smart in how he created us, the question I want to ask you is, what are you going to do with what God has given to you? Are you going to allow what God's given to you to be used by God? Back to that verse in Romans, offer your whole selves as living sacrifices. This is your spiritual act of worship. We had the offering earlier in the service, and the offering is the time we bring our tithes and offerings to God and put them in the bags here, and they are used for God's service. Maybe we ought to have bigger bags that we could put ourselves into. Because God does want to use the whole of you. God does want to use that which is hid, which is your very self. God does want you to love that which he has given to you, and not to spend your life in regrets of I wish I had, or I looked, or I was less, or whatever. We do need to look after our bodies, our natural self. And taking care of ourselves is something we need to do physically, spiritually, mentally. And often we abuse ourselves. But God has given us something for him to use. And in a moment we're going to take of the bread and wine, remembering the body of Christ. And I want to ask you before we do that, will you afresh give your whole self to him? Not complaining about what you've got, but saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. Use my time. Use my talents. I want to be holy for you. I want to be sanctified for you. If there's a change in me, Lord, change me. If you want to do something, Lord, have your way. Lord, may I not be comfortable with the person I have allowed myself to become, but may I again, Lord, as I give myself to you, become what you want me to be. Lord, if you want to have a way in me, have your way. But Lord, today, as we are talking about holy livings and being holy, Lord, we offer you again our very selves, our bodies, the shell in which we exist. And we say, Lord, use it for your glory. We want to honor you. We want to give you our very center of ourselves. Our times, our talents, our weaknesses, our health. Lord, they're yours. Use them for your glory.